Ball Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll get into some Mike Holder stuff today. His last day on the job as the athletic director at Oklahoma State University. His legacy is immense. I thought Barry Trammell wrote a fantastic article in the Oklahoman today, basically calling him the most important person ever to graduate from Oklahoma State University. And from an athletic standpoint, I think that could certainly be argued to be the case with all the things that he was able to do, not only as the golf coach, but then eventually as the athletic director. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what exactly did he do and did he accomplish in the 48 years that he's been there at Oklahoma State. NBA playoffs, just like we all thought. Trae Young doesn't play for the Hawks, and they blow out the Bucks. It's been pretty wild with some different injury stuff. Giannis Antetokounmpo went down with what was called a hyperextension of a knee. We'll figure out probably today after MRIs and that kind of thing where what his status is moving forward. Game 6 tonight with the Clippers and Suns out in L.A., What do we think might happen there? And then also starting to see some stuff about, you know, I know LeBron James brought it up. Now you're starting to see with these injuries, was the offseason too short? I think that's a interesting debate because of what happened before it. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I heard Jared yesterday when I was after I'd left talking about the OSSA board meeting, kind of clarify what
he said, rambling.
Yeah, clarify what he said and where that stands. You know what Sunday is?
Yeah, I do.
4th of July.
That's right.
I'm ready to start talking about what is everybody cooking. You know, it's like the great barbecue day, right?
Sure,
of the whole year.
Yes.
So what is on the menu? And I also might solicit a little advice for some of y'all out there that have a different cooker. I just acquired a different cooker.
You did.
And I got to know how to, dial it in and how to use it. I never really was a part of cooking with it with Dad. And so kind of out here on my own trying to figure out these mean streets of brisket cooking or what have you.
Go to YouTube and type in how to and then
Listen now. Malcolm Reed, you know him? He's a barbecue guy. I like his videos.
I don't.
Can't remember what it's called. But and then do you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow is outside of
Jim being here, do you know what tomorrow is?
It's payday.
Okay. Yes.
What's tomorrow?
It is, but it's a July 1st every year.
New fiscal year?
Is a huge day.
What is it tomorrow?
It's a huge day. I'll tell you.
Okay. I'm anxious.
It's going to be, it's been that way since 2011, and it's going to be that way through 2035. July 1st.
Okay.
One of the most ridiculous things in the history of sports. We'll get to it.
I think I know.
What do you think it is?
The individual for the Mets getting paid.
It's Bobby Bonilla Day. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Because I thought it was last week.
Nope, it's July 1st.
For some reason, it popped in my head. It's that time of year. Is that guy getting paid?
It's Bobby Bonilla Day tomorrow. We'll tell you, I've got it pulled up from last year's article, what exactly happened there and why Bobby Bonilla gets $1.19 million from the Mets tomorrow.
Cool.
With the contract that he negotiated. So that's what we got planned today. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. As Jared mentioned, we will be on the road tomorrow out of Barber Dyson Ford. Jim Traber will be with us for the entire hour. We'll have that over the air. We'll also be live video streaming that show from Barber Dyson Ford at onto our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Is that where we're going? Did we decide?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so
yeah.
The Skinny on Sports Facebook page. If you've ever wondered just how handsome Jared and I are, you'll be able to see tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's going to be a letdown, but prepare yourselves.
I don't know if you want to tell people to.
Anyway, Jim will be with us tomorrow.
Expectations will be way too high.
It's going to be fun. Well, actually, you know, if we just kind of beat the expectations down, then the people see us. They think, well, you know what? They're not that bad.
I don't think that's ever been the case for me.
That's not the case.
Oh, well, he's not that bad looking. It's either one way or the other for me.
I thought he'd be worse. So we'll be out there tomorrow, 9 o'clock to 10. Come out and hang out. I know there's a couple people last night at the golf course talking about coming and really just being irritants by wearing, you know, like soccer jerseys and stuff to try to get under our skin.
Baker Mayfield jerseys?
Now, that would be funny.
That would be funny.
That would be funnier than a soccer jersey.
I got a Dak Prescott jersey
you'll
I
just
could
look
wear.
Like a dork if you have a soccer jersey on.
I got a Jamaican soccer jersey. I can wear it.
Hey, feel free. Just remember we're on camera.
Yeah, we are on camera.
And it's going to be archived forever. Do you want yourself in a soccer jersey for all time?
Yeah, I bought the jersey when I was in Jamaica. I'm proud of it.
Okay.
I wear it around the house sometimes. Yeah. I'm in the Jamaican mood.
Well, are you? All right, we'll get to the cooking here in just a second. All right, these sports, but I really want to talk about the cooking.
I can tell. Barbecuing.
That's what I want to talk about. Anyway, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. Give us a call. Shoot us a text about any of these things. Or more importantly, what are you cooking this weekend? I'm going to be outside the listening area during the show. There's a couple of ways to stay in touch with us. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. You can live stream us that way. Or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app is a free download on your phone. So just get the Paragon Communications app. You can take us everywhere and all things Paragon with the three radio stations here in Elk City. The Penny News is in the app. Brand new edition of the Penny News dropped last night on the website, thepennynews.com. So you can check out all the deals in this week's Penny News. The print copies will be starting to filter out this afternoon everywhere by tomorrow. So go pick up a free copy of the Penny News and see what's in there for this week. Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, also the KADS website, as well as our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Okay, Jared, so when I left yesterday, midway through the show, obviously I had some family matter to attend. You were talking a little bit about that OSSAA board meeting.
Yeah, that kind of slipped by us, didn't it?
Well, you know, it was funny because we had that date circled on the calendar, but then it came and went without much fanfare. There wasn't a lot of notes coming out of that meeting. But then you found some stuff yesterday, and I guess kind of explain.
Basically just a tweet.
We were wanting. What? Here's the deal. Everybody remembers back during the high school basketball playoffs, the NFHS Network announcer who didn't know his mic was hot, said some racist things. We all saw those videos. Yeah, just a horrible incident, no doubt about it. There's no other way to say it. So from there, that sparked some interest with the OSSA board members of how do we navigate these waters. And more importantly to us, we were hoping, how do we get out of this contract and let local guys take care of this?
Well, I think a lot of broadcasters like you and me and everyone included was thinking the same thing. Like, whoa, this, what happened, like you said, not to mull over the fact that that was a horrible thing that was said on a hot mic. And that's been addressed well enough, and we don't need to rehash it. But us broadcasters were thinking, this might open up a door to get out of this horrible deal with the NFHS, with that the OSSAA had set up. On paper, it looked like a good idea. Let's have a streaming service for all of our sports and stuff. But then it hurt the little guys, the small markets, so even the big markets, where they were telling people you cannot turn on a camera if this is an NFHS broadcast. You can't turn on a camera. You can't broadcast. And that was infringing. It felt like it was infringing on our rights as broadcasters. So now it appears that the wheels are in motion to drop the NFHS, if not drop the NFHS, to change up the agreement to allow more people to broadcast. And that's all we've asked. You know, we're not going to go to a place, or we're not going to tell people who say come to the Pioneer Center and say, you can't turn on a camera because we're the only ones that can do it here. We wouldn't dare do that. And it just felt wrong when we went to a place and we were told that, especially the big house. So So basically what the tweet that I read was that they've voted to put basically the NFHS on probation. A probationary period for 1 year, because they are in contract with them through, 2028? And so put them on this probationary period. Now, I don't know the details of what that means, but at this time next year, we could be talking about complete changes with NFHS or no NFHS network at all associated with the state of Oklahoma.
Or
is that how I read it? I mean, am I wrong?
Nah, I mean, I look at it. My thoughts were on the other side of this completely. Meaning, okay, this is just a slap on the wrist and a way to try to say, hey, we did something.
Yeah, I can see that.
But we don't want to break this contract at all.
Yeah,
from the OSSA side of things. And I'm sure monetarily there's some things that would go against the OSSAA if you broke that contract. And quite frankly, with the way the last two you know, state tournaments have gone, one, you know, the 2A through 6A never happened in 2020. And then obviously this year, a vastly reduced crowd at one of their big money-making events of the entire school year. You know, I don't know the financially if it makes a bunch of sense to be, you know, breaking contracts and whatever that financial obligation might be. So, you know, I think as the longer that we got away from the incident, the easier it is to continue that relationship because everything's kind of died down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the weeks after that, if a decision had been made, I don't think it would have been the same one.
Oh no, yeah,
and you may be right though. Maybe this is a way to get one kind of kick the can down the road 1 year from the contract standpoint, financial obligation standpoint of breaking that. Maybe this is just a way to kick that down one more year and lessen the burden that might come along with doing that.
I think for this 1 year, we're going to see. Whereas it was mainly playoffs when we went to facilities that were facilities being schools that agreed to be a part of the NFHS network and being told that we can't turn on a camera, we can't broadcast other than radio. I think this is the one you're like, oh, but you're free to do it. And that means in the big house too. I think we're going to see film. We're going to see actual gameplay on Paragon TV from Jim Norick. This year. Now, what's it mean for next year? I don't know.
Right.
You know, and I agree with you there. I think it's kind of a kick the can down the road. Let's show them we do something, but we don't want to break this contract. And on the other end of that, like I said, they have this contract, I think my memory serves me right, through 2028.
Yeah, that sounds right.
There could be some lawsuit issues there, too, from the NFHS. That they, you know, we don't know what was said behind closed doors, but they said, listen, you break this contract, we're going to sue you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing in that contract that says you can break it because of this or because of that.
Yeah,
you know, I think they tried to find a way to find that contract null and void, but they couldn't. So they're going to find a way to change it.
Be interesting that there wouldn't be some kind of clause like that.
Yeah, you know, those
performance
contracts
or what have you.
Yeah.
You know, because you.
And the NFHS and OSSAA, they did the right thing because. If those who don't know, NFHS, they are, yes, a network, but then they will go out and make deals with local broadcast companies, a la Paragon. We've been a part of them. We've helped them out. And that's what happened. They made a deal with a broadcast company in the Tulsa area, and they said, we're done with them. We will never use them ever again.
Right.
So that was, you know, proactive. As soon as that happened, they made that announcement. So, you know, it's hard to throw a complete blame at the NFHS for that incident because it, you know, but they did make a deal with that place, with that company. But they did the right thing by saying, we're done with them forever. We're cutting ties with them. And a lot of people didn't understand that. A lot of people think those were NFHS guys, and that wasn't the case.
Well, and listen, and the OSSA doesn't get out of culpability here either, because they're a part of hiring those people that are on the mics.
This is true.
So
this is absolutely true.
You know, and so you know, it was never like it was one organization pitted against the other. They were always partners in this thing, and they all everybody involved had some egg on their face. You know, you can debate, you know, how much for each one, but the truth of it is they all had some, and so it wasn't like the OSSAA was from this real position of strength with no culpability whatsoever, and just coming down upon the, you know, that they were partners, and
yeah.
And there was different things that each of them did in that partnership pre those words being spoken that they both had an interest in and a stake in. And so, you know, there was plenty of blame to go around in that regard. And so I think that's why we are where we are. And
yeah.
We're going to see, you know, this 1 year. And obviously, if something like that happens again, it's done. And, you know, maybe in this probation period, some of that language you're talking about that maybe wasn't in there is now, to where, okay, in this 1 year period, if this happens, then we can void that contract and be done with it and wash our hands. So maybe that's the angle that was taken as well. So, you know,
I think ultimately for us, what we're looking for is that ability to film our teams where we want to film them, wherever that may be,
right,
and not being told we can't. Because it's such a disappointment for us. You think it's disappointing for the fans who turn on and say, due to restrictions, we can't broadcast this, but you can listen to it. You know, like, wait a minute.
Well,
we watched you all year long, and you can't do it now? That's a disappointment. It's 100 times disappointing for us.
Well, and think about this. If you're one of those fans of those teams, the Norman team, that has people that do that all year long,
and then
you turn it to something you're forced to have to watch, and then you hear that.
Absolutely.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
Interesting text. NFHS would be stupid not to negotiate because they would lose it all in 2028. That's another angle that I wouldn't have thought of, but yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they give up some stuff in a renegotiation to try to secure it a little bit longer term.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really interesting way to look at
that's
it.
That's really
if
you know, and, you're looking way down the road, but that makes sense.
Well,
know?
And
yeah.
if you I mean, you know, they know the tenor and the of the way that meeting went, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, they know how everything was, how it felt to be in there, and maybe reading the tea leaves on their side of it, if they're thinking, uh-oh, we're going to lose, then you give us some stuff to renegotiate that contract before, you know, before it's too late. So, interesting stuff. I guess we'll just kind of have to monitor, see what happens a year from now. But, you know, I think we'll have an idea. I think we'll have an idea before that as far as what we're allowed to do when football playoffs start and what have you.
Final thought about this is I think my solution would be, because like I've said, we have made partnerships with the NFHS where they pick up our streams, being Paragon TV, they'll pick up our streams and throw it on their network and all that. You know, why not, you know, keep it with the locals? If that's the deal that the OSSA wants to make with the NFHS, then NFHS, who covers Elk City? Oh, Big Elk TV. Okay, we'll piggyback on their stream.
Just be a vehicle for those streams to be centralized opposed to trying to call the game.
Instead of sending two guys who have no idea about the teams out to a game,
Well, I mean, from our side of it, of course, we're biased for the quality of the work that we do, but also, you know, there's financial stuff there too. Being able to sell, you know, the possibility of being on, you know, a statewide deal like that, or heck, nationwide deal like that. But of course, I mean, we have that anyway with the website that we control.
Sure.
But just from a quality of the broadcast, I mean, it obviously makes sense for somebody that has seen every single game of a certain team all year long to be involved in that. I mean, it just makes sense that way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do it with Canute, I can do it with Elk City. You can just recall situations throughout the season where a certain player or a certain, you know, whatever happened, and how it went then, and then of course
you know, you anticipate.
That's right.
You know,
and
you
can
this
and
is going to go to him right here.
That's
just
right.
Watch, you know, and you know that in the back of your mind, and you're ready for it, and you know their tendencies and all that stuff. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's familiar too when you play against schools over and over again.
That's right.
You know, like Canute, for instance, played the Cheyenne, or excuse me, Arapahoe Boys, like I don't know, three times this year. By that third time, you get familiar with the opponent too.
That's right.
And we see a ton of these small schools. We know them all, man. We know.
And it just makes sense to be able to give the viewer or the listener, depending on what the medium is, a little bit more of that insight that just frankly isn't available to some people that are just picking it up with three games to go in the season.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be interesting, no doubt about it, which way that goes. But that's a little bit of update of something that we really had talked about a ton throughout the year. All right, so you do know what today is, Bobby Bonilla Day, or tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Bobby Bonilla Day.
Okay, so July 1st, it's Bobby Bonilla Day, and so back, do you remember who the Mets ownership was at the time that this was agreed upon in 2000?
No, the Mets owner.
Yes.
No. In 2000.
In 2000, when this contract was when this contract was agreed upon. One, Bernie Madoff.
Oh, okay.
Was in the Mets ownership at the time that this was made. So, instead of paying Bobby Bonilla $5.9 million at the time in 2000, that was the amount left on his contract to buy him out. If you don't remember, Bobby Bonilla became famous with Barry Bonds in Pittsburgh in the early 90s, the Killer Bees.
Right.
You know, and then later on, kind of a pain in the tuchus, you know, with some different videos, make you move. Remember that when he was talking to one of the writers, or I thought he was going to literally fight one of the baseball writers in the clubhouse with the Mets, I think, back then. So in 2000, he's owed $5.9 million to buy out his contract. Bernie Madoff and the group there at the Mets decide, you know what? How about this? Instead of paying you $5.9 million at the time, what if you take this deal and we'll pay you annual payments of $1.2 million from 2011 through 2035? So 25 years of $1.2 million and, oh, by the way, an 8% interest. And Bobby Bonilla said, okay. So you're telling me you're going to pay me $30 million over 25 years or I can have 5.9 now? He went with the $30 million plus the 8% interest. And it's just so funny every single year. Like I know one Mets fan, like diehard Mets fan. And knowing his background and what he does for a living, I bet you tomorrow he just gets a little bit sick in his stomach to think about the just gross financial mismanagement of the New York Mets. Bobby Bonilla hadn't played in the major league since 2001.
What would you do if you got that much money once a year?
It'd be awesome. I don't know.
You wouldn't have to do anything.
Take the day off?
Take the years off, man.
I'm going to take the day off.
You're retired. You're done.
Here's what I did. I just made $1.2 million. I'm gonna take Thursday off. I can't take this Thursday off, obviously. But I'd be going to the golf course after Jim leaves. How about that?
I wouldn't be working. No working. No work.
Are you surprised? There's a little bit part of me that's surprised that he went for this.
Well, some would say that there's some that take the money and run, right?
Well, and you know what? If you had $5.9 million in the year 2000,
that's pretty.
You invest it, you probably end up with more than $30 at the end of 2035. But it would probably have been unfortunate if he would have taken that, because you know what he might have invested it in? Bernie Madoff's Ponzi schemes, and then there it went.
Yeah, there's gone. Yeah.
What a great deal.
I would have gone the latter. I would have done what he did. Wouldn't you?
Well, here's the deal. Yeah, I mean,
I know hindsight's 20/20, but I mean,
he's also got a second. And this is the famous one, but he's also got a second deferred contract plan with the Mets and the Orioles that pays him $500,000 a year for 25 years that started in 2004. So he gets about $1.7 million every year through, let's see, 2035. Well, through 2029. From now till 2029, then it'll knock down to the 1.19 or whatever when that other one runs out. Who knew Bobby Bonilla was such a financial genius? Didn't seem like it.
No.
Didn't seem like it at the time.
Makes total sense, though. I would totally do what he did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's the guaranteed thing other than investing.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty sweet deal every July 1st when he just gets up, walks out to the mailbox, and bam, $1.19 million.
Oh, looks like I'm not working again this year, honey.
Yeah. You think tonight is like Christmas Eve for him?
Probably.
All right, last night, as we all thought, without Trae Young, the Hawks take it to the Bucks and tie up the Eastern Conference Finals 2-2. I was a little bit out of pocket, so I didn't even realize that Trae wasn't playing until I flipped it over there and saw the game. It was a game that, you know, Atlanta led by, what, 13 at halftime. Milwaukee cut it to 10 when Giannis got hurt with about 5 minutes or so left in the third quarter. And from there, the Hawks just kind of ran away, leading by his 20-some at one point there. And ended up winning 110-88, tying the series at 2-2. How did they do it? How was Atlanta able, without Trae, to be able to not only score the points, but I think maybe defend Milwaukee to a level that they haven't really been able to in the entire series?
Well, I mentioned yesterday, I was kind of previewing this just a little bit after you left, that the only way, I mean, this was Milwaukee's to win because if Trae Young was not able to go, and that was the case, as soon as I got that alert on my phone, I thought, well, this is Milwaukee's to win. This is going to be an easy win for him. I failed to mention that Milwaukee needs Giannis just as much as Atlanta needs Trae Young. So when both are out, you know, you kind of look. And I thought, well, Chris Middleton might take this over once Giannis goes down. And he didn't really step up. I mean, credit Atlanta and everybody else, right? I mean, does the normal fan outside of Trae Young know who else is on that team? Bogdanovich comes to mind. Capella. But, you know, credit them protecting home court. Now, if this had happened in Milwaukee, I think it's the other way around. But it was, I think, how deflating was it for Atlanta when Young went down in their game? Was that game 3? You know, the same effect, I think, happened to Milwaukee. When Giannis went down and went out, it was deflating to them. And Atlanta saw an opportunity and took it.
Yeah, and even more to the point you just made there, it was, you know, you see somebody on the knee, and that's different than an, you know,
sure.
Atlanta, you know, okay, well, he rolled his ankle. How bad is it? Can he play? When Giannis is walking off the floor, those guys are thinking, is his season over? You know,
right.
You mentioned Middleton. He was incredible in game 3 down the stretch. He actually outscored the Hawks 20-17 in the fourth quarter by himself. Went for tied his career high in the playoffs with 38. But that's been the outlier in this series for Middleton. Before that, he was, what, 12 of 37? Went 6 of 17 last night, 0 for 7 from 3, only 16 points. So, you know, really and truly outside of, you know, just a blazing hot quarter in the fourth quarter of game 3, Chris Middleton hasn't been there for the Bucks, and right. You see the difference, because when he is there like that, and Giannis, you know, granted Giannis is playing, the Bucks are the best team left to me. But when he's not, then you start to see some of Giannis's deficiencies. You know, he was 7 of 10, had 8 rebounds, 3 assists when he went out toward the end of the third quarter. But then, you know, the 0 for 3 from the line start creeping. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that when you watch them play, because of Giannis's free throw issues, when the game's on the line, the ball is in Chris Middleton's hands. because the Milwaukee Bucks don't trust Giannis to make free throws. And so a lot of the load is going to be on him.
Very obvious the other night.
That's right. Yeah. I mean,
last night, yeah.
And 2 nights ago, he was incredible.
Yeah.
And knocking down every single shot. And that's where the ball needed to be. But then when it's not going that way, and maybe this is the fatal flaw of the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's that their best player can't be their closer. Because he doesn't trust himself to make free throws.
Yeah.
And that's a rough
one. Which
is
weird because then you, if you're going up against him, it's a tight game down the stretch. You actually want him to have it, have the ball in his hands, right?
Oh, you want to. Yeah. You want it to be in Giannis's hands for
Unlike,
sure.
Unlike, you know, back in the glory days, you didn't want KD or Russ have the ball down the stretch because they were closers. They are closers. But that is so odd to say. A former MVP. Yeah, give him to him.
Two-time MVP.
Please
give it to him so we can foul him.
Yeah, give it to him. We'll foul him.
And make him make free throws.
Crazy.
And he doesn't – and when you watch, I mean, if it's a tight game in the clutch with 2 minutes left, he doesn't touch it much. And when he does, it's hot potato.
Just
even like defensively getting a rebound, he's quickly getting it out of his hands because he knows he's going to get fouled.
Yep.
And that, as much as anything, that's got to scare you. If you're a Bucks fan, but we'll see, you know, that may be all a moot point if that injury is enough to keep him out. Certainly didn't look like he had, I mean, you know, things can change, but watching him walk off or try to walk off that floor didn't give you a ton of confidence that he would be ready to go tomorrow night. You know, maybe a game or two later, but tomorrow night sure didn't look like he was going to be, you know, but who knows? Who knows what it is? I'm sure all that will come out probably right after we get off the air. But
I'd say this for Milwaukee fans, no news right now.
Probably good news.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that.
Because if they had, if it was really bad, you would have heard immediately like last night, right?
Yeah.
Torn.
You can almost read the tweet from Woj or Shams. Sources inside the Bucks fear torn ACL.
Right.
Type of stuff. Yep, haven't heard any of that. So I think you're right. The longer today goes along without having any news, maybe that means it just kind of really is hyperextended, and we'll see, you know, how effective or even if he can play tomorrow night. On the Atlanta side, two guys that were great, and it was Capella and it was Sweet Lou. Lou Williams, 7 of 9, had 21 to lead the Hawks. Those two guys combined 13 of 16. In Trae Young's absence, Bogdanović, his shooting numbers from the field aren't very good, only 7 of 19, but he made 6 of 14 from 3, which was a welcome sign for them because he hadn't been able to really throw it in the ocean at any point here in this Eastern Conference final. So that's good news. You know, Atlanta, with a full complement of players on the other side for Milwaukee, Giannis obviously being the big piece, Atlanta doesn't have enough guys. Like, known guys, but
right. Like one, I said, who else is it?
But the one thing they do have is they've had performances. We saw Herder in the Philly series go nuts one game. We've seen John Collins have good games. Capella's always kind of consistent. Just, you know, throw it up and dunk it, and he'll get you 10 or 15. But Lou Williams,
I mean, you never know when Gallinari could.
And
get
then
hot.
Yeah, there's Gallinari, there's Lou Williams, there's Bogdanović. So, you know, it's not the same dynamic as it is with Milwaukee having Drew Holiday, having Middleton, and having Antetokounmpo, those three guys that you can count on, and if you get anything else, it's kind of gravy. Atlanta's not like that, and so it can be almost a blessing in disguise that there are multiple guys that have the ability, but it's also a little bit of a problem when you can't necessarily count on any one of those guys outside of Trae Young either. So, yeah. You know, it's hard to imagine all five or six of them having a bad night at once, but we've seen it happen. And so this is a really interesting series that gets even crazier if both of the super-duper stars are either out or hobbled for both sides. So, you know, Middleton, I think, for me right now in that series, the major pressure and the major load, with or without Giannis, is on Chris Middleton. To me,
agreed.
He is the guy that has the pressure on him, the bullseye square on his back to be able to produce.
Absolutely.
Because when he plays good, I heard the stat on TNT the other night. When he's in these playoffs, when he's shot better than just 40% from the field, they're undefeated. When he shot worse than 40%, they've won one game. Mm. Cue up that to that stat last night, 6 of 17. That's clearly less than 40%.
Based on the health of both the superstars in this series, we have a brand new series.
Yeah.
I mean, obvious statement of the day with an even record, but even, I mean, it's more emphatic now that if the, both these guys are in question. We have a brand new series in the East. God, love that, man.
No doubt.
The parody of it. And I hate that the parody of it comes with injury, because of injury.
So, to that point, before we talk Clips Suns Game 6, on the injury front, do you think that the shortened offseason coming out of the bubble, is that having a major impact, or is it just a rash of bad luck?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a medical professional. These guys signed up. I mean, how many games are in a regular season? But I get there's a longer off season in, when it's a normal time of the year, when it's a normal time. But, you know, you're asking a lot to play these guys a long amount of time. And, you know, in these playoffs, it feels like they're trying to hurry through it because it's a game, one day rest, then a game and one day rest. So I can see a little bit of that, sure. But some of it's just like Trey's injury, just completely freak injury. He stepped on a foot. But Giannis is hyperextended knee. I mean, is that because of the wear and tear of the long season? Maybe. Maybe. How about you?
I mean, I think it's easy to draw that conclusion. But, I mean, I think you could also make the argument that the amount of rest these guys received last year was more than they do normally. Because they didn't do anything from March through July.
That's what I was going to say.
March through June, when the COVID hit.
Right.
They got an entire off season, before, went back and played what?
Eight games.
Eight games for some, at the most 20 or 30.
There's no travel involved.
That's right.
You know?
And then got 2 months off and then started the season. So, I mean, I think it's easy just to be lazy and go, oh, it's because of the shortened off season. Well, you got 4 months before.
Yeah.
This ever, you know, before they ever even went in the bubble. And, oh, by the way, you know who wasn't in the bubble?
Atlanta.
The Hawks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Trae Young injury, like you said, is freak stepping on a guy's foot. But the bubble didn't have anything to do with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
The Suns played eight games in the bubble. Didn't make the playoffs. They were done. You know, so.
But those that would argue say, well, teams like the Lakers or the Clippers.
Yeah, maybe. If you wanted to say early season, Lakers, Miami.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. But, I mean, the Clippers won one series and got beat.
Right.
Clippers aren't having problems right now. Kawhi's not hurt because of the bubble, I don't think. It's no different than anything. I think you can make the case they had more rest going into this season than they would have before because of the layoff for COVID. So I think it's lazy. I think it's an easy way for some of the writers to get on LeBron James's good side because LeBron thinks that.
Right.
But I don't know. I think it's injuries happen in sports. They just do. And it's not, you know, sometimes, you know, there's definitely prevention that can help. But sometimes you just get hurt, and that's just the way it was supposed to be.
Right.
You know, sometimes you step on a ref's foot, and you roll, and you hurt, you bruise your foot and roll your ankle. So,
right.
Anyhow, Clips Suns game 6 tonight. I talked yesterday, coming off that fantastic performance by Paul George in game 5, an elimination game that the Clippers won 116-102. Now it's back in Staples. You know, there's that pressure on Chris Paul, never been there, been one of the best players ever not to go to the finals. And then there's the Paul George angle that is just fascinating for him to, with all the problems that he's had in playoff runs throughout his career, now here he is center stage on a team without what most would say their best player, and him having to be the one to put the team on his back, and man, he did game five with 41 on 15 of 20 shooting. Can he continue, not that, but something similar to that, and be enough to force a game seven?
Yeah, I think so. Especially at home, I think maybe I'm saying this because I really want this thing to go seven, but I think so. I think he can. He's kind of – I think he has his personal mission of leading this team, showing that it wasn't Kawhi, me, and everybody else. I mean, I can be a leader on it just by myself. He more or less did it in Indiana to an extent, and I think he's on this personal mission of getting this team passed. You know, and something was reminded to me yesterday, and I don't know why. You know, Paul George is getting shortchanged for where he was to where he is now. Remember the injury?
Oh, yeah.
People rarely talk about that. They thought his career was done. For those who don't remember, it was in Vegas. It was before the, 14 Olympics?
Yeah, something like,
Was it 18 or 14? That's impossible.
It was 14.
It's not 18.
16, maybe.
16, thank you. The years didn't add
up. Maybe it was 16.
I think it was 16, and his leg damn near snapped off.
Yep.
It was brutal.
You remember the reaction from the guys on the floor when it happened?
Yes.
Like almost vomiting.
Yes.
Right there on the floor.
I mean, give this guy – I think he's getting a little – he's not getting enough respect, in my opinion, from the major media outlets.
You know, I heard this talking yesterday at some point about him and his fit. You know, he fits better when the ball is in his hands. Like he's a guy that's not really a great super team guy because he doesn't – you know, him and Kawhi doesn't really work. Him and the guys here didn't really work to the best of its abilities. But at Indiana, you know, right now, when he's clearly the guy and kind of the initiator of all things offense for the Clippers, it really works better that way. Yeah. And so you wonder for him, now he signed the extension that keeps him there. He doesn't kind of have those yearly outs like what Kawhi would have. But you wonder if in the back of his mind he's thinking to himself, damn, I could have stayed in OKC or Indiana and really kind of let them build a team around me, not just team up with the star that we really don't fit with, because quite frankly, they're about the same player.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something that maybe not for him, it's not going to do any good because he's locked in, but someone else, you know, that's kind of monitoring what they want to do. Is this kind of a cautionary tale of, you know, the super team things aren't always the greatest because they don't always fit right?
Well, it might have been a lot of wishful thinking upon our part when we said this, and we've been saying it over and over again. Are we seeing a changing of the ways in the NBA from super teams back to build a team around a guy?
Right.
You know, with the Trae Young and Giannis and – help me out anymore. I'm missing. Right now they're having success. I mean, one could argue their Phoenix is building around Devin Booker when they went and got Chris Paul.
Yeah, but you know the guy – I heard this conversation the other day. Maybe it was Monday.
Mitchell.
One of the guys – yeah, Mitchell. Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that without Jamal Murray, Jokic is that.
Yeah.
With him, maybe not. But those weren't put together, right? And Phoenix isn't put together that way. But as much as I think, you know, Trae Young is one of the guys for sure that his stock has risen across the country in these playoffs, you know whose stock is in my mind maybe risen the most, and maybe it's because I've seen him play more this last month and a half than I have his whole career probably. But you know who's way better than I realized? It makes that 2018 draft even more incredible.
Who's that?
DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton's good.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that not a lot of people have. Now, he's not a throw it into him, back to the basket, bulldoze through you, Shaq. But he's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can't necessarily step out to the three-point line, but he can step out to the free throw line, knock down jump shots. But, you know, he's a guy that is super, super valuable with the way this league is going, and he's able to kind of move out on the floor. That's a guy that's pretty valuable in this league. And so I think when you add a Chris Paul to what they had, then you see what's happening. And I don't think there's any doubt that probably DeAndre Ayton was helped as much as anybody on that team with Chris Paul's presence and what he brings to the floor every night. So, you know, I think it's easy for us to jump out there and say, oh, yeah, Clippers are winning for us in Game 6. I wouldn't be shocked if the Suns don't win tonight just to
Yeah, I know Vegas has it as basically a pick 'em.
A pick 'em.
But I because it's at, when I go pick 'em, when I see pick 'em, I look at the home team and who do they – I just lean in Clippers.
One last thing that's very interesting. Through all five games of this series at this point in the day, Kawhi Leonard is out. Not today. He hasn't been officially ruled out at any point yet.
That might not be a good thing for L.A.
I think it would be a horrible thing.
Yeah.
To try to reincorporate him in an elimination game like this?
Yeah.
Whew, that'd be tough.
When you talk about cooking.
Wow, man. We got to hit this other deal first.
Oh, what do you got?
With the mic holder. So today, today is the last day that mic holder will be the athletic director at Oklahoma State University. Concludes 48 years as an employee at OSU. And his story goes back clear to coming out of high school. He walked onto the golf team in Stillwater and eventually became the golf coach in 1973. Won 8 national titles while he was the coach over a 32-year career. And then in 2005, became the athletic director at Oklahoma State. Boone Pickens had a bunch to do with that. It's pretty amazing the story of Mike Holder and what he has done, not only athletic department-wise, but also just the total campus. I mean, I get the chance a few times over the last couple of years to go up for football games with my wife, who graduated from Oklahoma State back earlier in the millennium.
Yeah.
And I just – when she drives around that campus, she just constantly talks about how different and how just the transformation of not only athletics, but also just the school itself and the buildings itself on the campus and how much better it has become. And I think Mike Holder has a huge influence on that. Obviously, athletically he does.
Sure.
With Boone Pickens, with Carson Creek out, you know, west of town. That he was able to get built there and is the best college golf facility in the country. It's not really even a debate. And then, you know, the athletic village, you've got all that different stuff, the new baseball stadium and all that. But then also kind of showing, and I thought Trammell did a good job of kind of highlighting this in the article in the Oklahoman, his ability to get that stuff done athletically also showed the academic side that you can do it too, and here's how. I think it's really interesting how the transformation of OSU athletics from a facility standpoint was also buoyed the athletic or the academic people to go ahead and kind of use that philosophy to get stuff done as well.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be unnoticed, you know. I mean, you mentioned an alumni right there and your wife just – recognizing that. I think that's something that he's left his mark right there, clearly in Stillwater. So, and my question is, with him moving on, you know, how does OSU move on? Will there be a different identity? Will that philosophy stay the same? It makes you as a fan kind of nervous when there's a change of regime. We're looking at Nebraska, for crying out loud.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? But he's left some big shoes to fill, that's for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, the article goes in talking to a few different people about his importance. You know, he's most important employee of OSU ever. And that makes, you know, that makes sense from that golf standpoint, the way, you know, no offense to Lakeside golf course, but it's almost like, huh? This is where the OSU golf dynasty was built? Now, It makes sense. When you go to Carson, you're like, well, of course.
Well, yeah.
Now, this is what it's all about for a school with that much golf tradition and that many championships. But, you know, back before that was built in, what, 1994, you're thinking, huh? I mean, it's nice, but not, you know what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being able to get that done, being able to turn – it's interesting when Holder himself in this article talks about the fundraising part of his job, not only as the golf coach, but then, of course, as the athletic director starting in 05. And he almost approached it the same way he approached recruiting athletes. You know, you have to build the relationship before you can really kind of start to ask the questions that need to be asked. As far as, hey, what do you want? You know, where do you want to go? What do you want to see out of us as a team? And then also later on, as the AD, okay, what do you want to see your money do?
Right.
But you know, he said you had to build the relationship like you would recruiting, to even be able to get your foot in the door to ask what's next.
Did you mention O'Brate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that. Getting that done. First, finding the donors, building relationships there. To get that done, and all of a sudden the pandemic hits. I'm not saying they're going to suddenly stop and tear it down, but I believe it was done. They just couldn't use it.
That's right. No, it was done.
Yeah, it was done.
But yeah. What perfect timing, though, because if that happens, if that starts a year later, I don't know.
Right. Right. You know who else's last day is today? One President Randy Butler.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Southwestern Oklahoma State.
And it's a different scale. But
look at what he's
done. Look at what he's done over there.
Under his watch.
Absolutely.
The Pioneer Sailor Event Center stands out. I believe the turf was installed during his watch on the football field. A lot of facility improvements and academic improvements.
Absolutely.
I mean, just most recently, one of the largest donations given for their pharmacy department. I mean, he left his mark, too. So congratulations to Randy Butler.
Yeah, and I think something you said earlier, it's really, you know, where do you go from here? How do you continue to build upon those legacies at those different institutions to keep moving, to keep improving and moving forward? Because, you know, especially at the Division I level, that arms race never stops.
Oh, no.
And if you're standing still, you're getting passed. And so that's going to be it's going to be interesting because there's no doubt – you know, think about the continuity in this state from a football especially standpoint. You know, that was always one of the huge deals you heard, you know, when of course Stoops' name was brought up in any job that ever opened. And one of his biggest reasons was, wait a minute, I've had the same president and I've had the same athletic director this entire time.
Right.
And then you look at Gundy and Holder, obviously some friction there in that relationship, but from a continuity standpoint, not a lot of people have the same AD and same head football coach from 2005.
Yeah, exactly.
There ain't very many of them out there.
No.
You know, every time you see those lists, OU and OSU have been at the top of that list of continuity the entire last two decades almost.
And that is a big reason for success.
Absolutely.
It's not talked about a lot, but it is.
100%.
That's why I was going back. It makes you nervous.
What's
when a
next?
President or an AD step aside.
And they've had both.
Yeah.
They've had both.
It makes you nervous. So you hope that OSU can continue that run, that success that they've had, not just across football, but across all athletics.
And it makes sense that Weiberg's the next guy following Holder. It makes perfect sense for him to be the guy. And so I think it's put in place and the possibility is certainly there for that to continue and the success to keep rolling. Just with familiarity and a person that's ready for that job. But anybody that thinks, oh, yeah, you just step in and replace Mike Holder at Oklahoma State University, probably sorely mistaken.
Yeah.
Just because of the impact that he had. That's not it's not really a slight on anybody else, per se, but it's he was truly that important to that university. And the proof is in those buildings that are there right now.
Yes, it is.
All right, everybody, have a great day. Come out tomorrow. Jim Traber in the house.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available.
Thanks for listening.